CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gene Marks of the Guardian newspaper, UK and US edition, the small business columnist, as well as the Philadelphia Inquirer. Gene turns to the news, the colonial pipeline now solved, flowing again, but we're told ransomware. Gene has a lesson not for Colonial Pipeline or other state actors, but for small businesses. What do we learn from this, Gene?
Well, John, the oil is flowing, which is good news. And I'm reading today that the operators of the Colonial Pipeline paid a reported $4 to $5 million in ransom to the ransomware makers that stopped up their system. This whole story, John, really did not come as much of a surprise to me or anybody else that provides consulting services for businesses. Ransomware has been a big problem, and it's affected hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of small businesses. It's a $4 billion a year industry, these ransomware guys. And I will never know publicly how the Colonial Pipeline was affected. But, John, I can take a pretty good guess because there's either one or two big reasons why it happened. Either number one, some employee at Colonial Pipeline clicked on a bad email or was redirected to a bad website and it downloaded malicious software, got into their system and did their thing. And there are so many employees working from home because of COVID. We know that they're using old and outdated operating systems as well because they're sharing it with their kids. So all of these ransomware makers are looking for people that are duped into clicking on the wrong thing, or if they're just running an old computer, a Windows computer or a Mac computer, and they can compromise that computer and then get into a system. So the bottom line is this, guys, you're running a small business. If you do anything to protect yourself from ransomware, and it's no guarantee, but it goes a long way. Number one, you have to invest in training for your employees to be able to recognize goofy emails and things that they should not be clicking on. You have to do that. And secondly, you have to make sure that every device your employee is using, regardless of where they are located, has got to be running the most recent operating system for that device, because that's how Microsoft and Google and Apple protect you against this stuff, by making sure that these operating systems have those controls. Got to make sure you do that, and that will decrease your chance of going through the headaches that the people at Colonial Pipeline have been going through.
The Restaurant Revitalization Fund, RRF. Gene, you've done too good a job telling people about this. They're out of money. You did it. All you. Writing about it, talking about it.
Yeah, this report has come out earlier this week in the Journal of Accountancy. They're already reporting that the Restaurant Revitalization Fund is running out of money. It was a approximately $29 billion fund set up under the stimulus program. If you're a restaurateur, you can apply to get a grant for your restaurant, and all you need to do is prove how much your 2020 revenues were below your 2019 revenues, and you get a grant for the difference. There's been special money put aside right now, John, for another week or two for minority-owned businesses and businesses in low to moderate income areas. They get first dibs at this money, and then it gets opened up to everybody else. I think by the time within the next few weeks, we're going to be hearing that it's completely out of money and don't apply anymore. That $29 billion went really fast. And next, what will happen, John? I guess, where are we now? In May? Next time, we'll talk sometime in June or early July about all the fraud that happened from the Restaurant Revitalization Program. So stay tuned for that.
The government also is careful in presenting itself with a new law called the PRO Act. Very careful, because it's meant to enhance the unionization of small business workers. But there are difficulties with it. One is that it needs a lot of exemptions. Explain, Gene.
Yeah, the PRO Act has become very controversial and is scaring a lot of small business owners right now. And it's debatable. And the reason why there's such a debate is because the language in the current version of the bill, it leaves things up for discussion. So the PRO Act was passed by the House of Representatives last month, I think. Maybe it was in March. It was not going to pass the Senate, but significant portions of it are included in the president's infrastructure bill. And it does two big things, John. Like you just said, it makes it easier for people, for workers and independent contractors even, to unionize against the company. So if your company feels like you might be potentially exposed to unions, the PRO Act is going to make it a lot easier for them to organize and do that kind of stuff, even during work hours. The thing that really scares a lot of business owners about the PRO Act, John, is that it changes the definition of an employee. Whereas if you have an independent contractor that you're using in your business, and that independent contractor is generating revenue for you. In other words, I don't know, maybe it's a software developer or somebody that's providing services and you're billing them out to a customer. That independent contractor may be considered to be an employee of your company under the PRO Act, which means that you would owe employee taxes and potentially have to make that person part of your benefit plans, and that's a cost. So a lot of small business owners are concerned about that, and a lot of freelancers, a lot of independent contractors are also concerned because by the very nature of what they do, they don't want to be employees of a company. They want the freedom to operate on their own, but the PRO Act would require them to be employees of companies. So again, the debate goes on about the language contained, but it could be a real potential problem for a lot of small businesses. So keep a close eye on the PRO Act.
Gene, we just have a minute. The Philadelphia Inquirer piece that you wrote about supply chain in Philly. Can you explain in a minute?
In just a minute? That's easy. It's all about inventory, guys. How can you figure out the extent of your supply chain problem without knowing what your supply is? My smartest clients, John, this year are counting their inventory every week and making sure that they're investing in technology to give them accurate levels of their inventory. Then they're talking to their customers and making sure they understand their expectations of lead times. And, of course, they're talking to their suppliers and looking for alternatives. But the core answer to your supply chain problem is your inventory. Count it and know it. That way you'll be able to estimate the impact of supply chain issues going forward.
Gene Marks, a small business columnist for The Guardian newspaper, the UK and US edition, as well as the Philadelphia Inquirer, he also writes at The Hill. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.